Welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Okay, right on. Hey, go open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Don't we serve a God who is so amazing, right? You just did it. You just transferred. I love it. Don't we serve a God who is so loving and so just ever-present and always moving in the middle of all of our needs and never letting up? We had a great prayer time this morning and Pastor Dick was ministering this morning to us some beautiful things about steadfastness and steadfastness. I've been doing that. Turn on my steadfastness. I want to stay steady. I don't want to blow over in these windstorms, you know. I don't want to be like Piglet or anything, you know. It's like, I don't think I have any problems. I didn't need to worry about here. And just how good God has been throughout all the years and through all the circumstances and how sovereign he is and what a beautiful opportunity is right now just to serve him and be right where we're at. And so anyway, I was really blessed this morning. Don't forget, make it out 11 o'clock in the morning, right, at Abbot Lou Community Church in our chapel.
It's very good.
It is very good. Amen. It feels really good to be home. And it also has been a great time of fellowship. Today we had a really beautiful time of fellowship and just really connecting. And it's actually one of the times I look forward to most all week. You know, that and dinner time. No, actually, I look forward to that more than I do dinner time. We want to welcome some folks back. Right now I want to welcome back Justin Bramlett. He is a staff sergeant in the military, and he just came back from Afghanistan. He spent 7 months in Afghanistan. Will you stand, Justin? Thank you so much for all of your service. Why don't you hold your new baby up? Hold up your little baby here. He's got a new baby, 9 months old. Justin has spent, there he is, look at his new baby, right? So he had his baby and then had to go off to Afghanistan, and this is his beautiful wife, Faye. Faye, thank you for being here, and we want to just pray for you. You guys can all be seated. Thank you for honoring them, and Justin, thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. So Justin, I know you had your baby and then had to go off to war, and thank you for doing that, protecting our freedoms. And Justin has spent more than 32 months in Afghanistan, actually some in Iraq, but in service deployment. And so let's be praying for them. We're just going to be really praying for you guys and your marriage and your family. And Faith has told me she's wanting to get baptized here pretty soon and dedicate their baby and get back to being a family, right? I love it. So can you guys stretch your hands towards them? And anybody close, can you lay hands on them? And let's pray. Yeah, there you go. Sneak on in there, family. Lord, thank you for Faith and Justin and their new little baby, Christian. God, I pray that you bless this couple. God, I thank you that their marriage has stood the test of all of this sacrifice. And God, we speak blessing and favor over them. And God, I pray that your anointing will fall in wisdom and in strength and in love. God, that your love will abound more and more and more in their life. Lord, I pray for Justin. God, you'll heal his heart, heal his mind. God, thank you for all of the sacrifice. But God, I'm praying for everything that he has seen, all the tragedy, God, and the trauma. God, you'll heal it. And you'll touch him and you'll make him a whole man and a godly, powerful father and husband. Lord, thank you for this awesome couple. Minister to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, guys. And Megan Holland, where are you at? Where are you? Are you here today? She's in the foyer. Get Megan. Somebody get Megan and drag her in here. Go get her. I want to pray for her. No, I'm preaching. Faster. All right, well, while we're waiting for her, we're going to welcome the Pratts, Mike and Robin Pratt. Where did you go? You guys are here somewhere. I saw you. There you are. Why don't you stand up? Thank you for being here. Mike and Robin Pratt. They've been missionaries for 20 years, sent out of Abbot Loop in Swaziland. They've been doing a great work there. I encourage you all to get to know them. We're going to get more information out about you. You guys got to be having communication times and stuff, right, while you're here, so we can get people connected with your ministry. You're going to be here for about a month, I take it, right? A couple more weeks anyway, right? Oh, Mike is? All right, well, we're going to put you to work, letting people get to know you. 20 years is a long time. When was the last time you were back? It was a while. 07. Okay, so look, we really want, one of the things we want to do is keep the mission work that we are doing all over the world active and present and something that's real to us, and that means our relationships have to stay connected. So this is an important time that they're back for you to connect with them. And if you're interested in mission work and anything that has to do with entrepreneurship and changing cities and cultures, get with the Pratts. From what I hear, these guys are geniuses in pretty much every way. And so if you want to know how to be a great missionary, like if you're getting sent out to YWAM, you might want to get with them, right? Okay, if you're doing stuff like that, right? Aren't you going to YWAM? You're not going. Somebody else is. Kimberly Williams, that's right. You look like her. No, I don't know, whatever. Some other young gal. Kimberly Williams, yeah, she should get with the Pratts, right? That makes a lot of sense to a guy like me. Philippians chapter 1, we are officially starting a journey through the book of Philippians. And so I want to encourage you to get your Bibles out this month. Read, study, pray, ask God for insight. And hopefully as we search and dig into the scripture, that we're going to discover some good things about church life. Paul wrote the book of Philippians, and he wrote it to the Galatians. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. It's Philippians. It's pretty obvious. All right. He wrote the book to the Philippians, and he wrote this when he was in prison. And this is probably one of his most compassionate and tender letters that he wrote during his time. And it is a beautiful picture of living life centered in Christ, but also looking at our lives through walking in contentment no matter what the circumstances are. There's a strong theme of humility and unity in this Bible, in this Bible book, this passage here. And also a theme of generosity. And so as we dig in here, I want us to be looking at what our lives look like as Christians together, as if Paul was writing this story to us, this letter to us, and that we could allow it to influence us and challenge us to live pure, holy, God-centered, Christ-centered lives of generosity, living in unity, living in God's love, and living in genuine humility, right? Amen? All right, so we're going to dig in here. I'm going to take just the first part of the chapter. We're going to go through verse 11 up to verse 12. And just see what the Word is saying to us here. So this letter, verse 1, is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I am writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy. For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. I love how Paul writes, especially in this book. He writes in a lot of other books where you just hear his heart for the people. You know, he went and established his church a long time before he wrote this letter. But these people meant a lot to him. And I think it just rings true to us to talk about our relationships with one another. And I had, remember, just Pastor Dick preaching this message on our 50th anniversary. Wasn't it the 50th? You were in my heart. Is that, oh my gosh. That message, how many of you guys heard that message Pastor Dick preached about? You are in my heart. One of the most powerful messages I've heard in my life. And this is the way Paul lived, is that he lived in a way that he just kept people deep in his heart. He didn't just plant this thing for himself, or he didn't do this work of God so that he would have some sort of great name for himself, but he genuinely loved and cared for and believed in the work that these believers were partnering in with him, right? This is an important key, I think, to church life. That the way Paul looked at his church life, he's in prison, and they do a great work for him. They're helping Paul out, and so Paul's writing a response letter back to them. And in this, like, Paul just sends this tender note to them, and he just says, look, whenever I think of you, my heart just overwhelms, like, with love and with great joy. Like, shouldn't that be the way that leaders and ministers and congregations and the work of God as we serve together, that it should be not in any kind of work of jealousy or envy or any kind of, you know, strife or resentment or bitterness or why didn't you do this or how come this didn't happen? Like, Paul just comes in and just says, look, every time I think of you, the first thing on my mind is I give thanks to God whenever I pray. I make requests for all of you with joy. Like, it isn't a burden to him to pray for the people that he loves so much. It's actually a great joy to him when he thinks of the people that he's serving. Right? That's good. I feel like a personal challenge in this for me as a leader. Like, you know, this is the type of leader I want to be. It's like when I think of the people that I'm serving and working with, that I'd be a person, a leader that thinks of the people when I pray for you. It's great joy in my heart. Right? Amen. I think that's an important thing we can strive for, is that even in, I mean, Paul's in prison. We don't even know all the struggles that the Philippians might have been going through, but life is life, right? There was persecution and all kinds of stuff going on all around in those regions, and you know that it wasn't perfect, and in the middle of that, no matter what the circumstances were, it's just like, look, first of all, I have a lot of joy that we've been partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard of it till now. And, you know, this, I'm not hard on denominations or any of that kind of stuff. But one of the things I appreciate about Abbott Loop Community Church from the time I've been here, and even in the whole history of us planting churches, is that we weren't like out to plant a bunch of churches and control them. It really has been a partnership in spreading the good news. And as we look at our, even when we work on bringing out people onto our staff as a church, right? From that level all the way into just coming in and sitting in the pew and being a part of the movement of God in this place and this house. It's not about employee, employer. If any time somebody's on like one of our church staff and they feel like an employee, then we've got the wrong mixture going on. We're really in partnership in spreading the gospel, whether you're full-time paid or not. Look, you're not just a pew sitter or just a member. Look, you're a partner. And I think that's important in Paul's perspective, that we would grab this perspective for ourselves and say, we're not just, you know, members or attenders. We're actually partners in spreading the gospel. That's the number one purpose that we have together, is to spread the good news of Jesus to other people. Right, church? All right. Okay. For you have been my partners, not somebody else's, very specific, in spreading the good news about Christ from the time you first heard it until now. A good brother here just got saved, right? You gave your heart to Jesus last week. From the first time you heard it, you start spreading the good news, right? This is good discipleship. From the first time you hear it, you start spreading the good news. There's not this big lapse of time where you sit around, you have to be here for 10 years before you're qualified to start sharing the good news. I love how he just points out, like, these are small little things, but I think that they're really important about how Paul saw how church life ought to have been. He's commending something that was good about their church life, is that you and I, from the very beginning, ought to be just sharing the good news of Jesus right when we get saved, right when we see someone else get saved, we help them, and then we just continue on. We've been a believer for 30 years, we're still sharing the good news. 40 years, we're still sharing the good news. All right. And I, verse 6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. I was touching on this passage last week, and this is such a great passage of trust. That when we engage with Jesus, when we engage with our relationship with him, that we genuinely have this confidence that God, who reached in and grabbed us and pulled us out of wherever we were at, for
for his purpose. He's the one that determines whether something is valuable or not. Right? Not us. So if God says that you're valuable and you're so valuable that I died for you and I reached in and I grabbed you by the heart and I saved you, did everything that needed to be done to bring you to me, and then you're on this journey where you start realizing, wow, there's some struggles, there's some gaps, there's a distance between where I am at and who Christ is and his personality and his nature, and there's some distance to make up in my character and the way I live. Who I am, what I think about. Are you with me? And we see that, but this is a great hope that Paul gives to us about Christ's everlasting commitment, the Father's ever-ending commitment. It never stops. He is faithful to finish the things he starts. Isn't that great? That's seriously good news to me, because there are days when I come against myself and look at myself and I say, self, you stink a little bit. It's like time to take a shower. Yeah. Right? Yeah, I used to commercial fish. Weeks on a boat with no shower is bad news. Especially when there's a group of guys. It's like, I mean, you can see the flies swarming. It is really gross. It's very, very bad. And see, sometimes we look at ourselves and we realize there's some rubbish all over us. But God still looks at us and he sees that diamond in the middle of that rubbish. And a lot of times we get focused on that rubbish, don't we? And we're kind of like, we're rubbish. We're a bunch of garbage. When God is looking inside through that rubbish to that valuable jewel or that diamond, who you really are in the middle, and he says, look, all that rubbish, yes, it's true, and you're facing it, you're seeing it, you're smelling it. It's not good. There's a gap between who you are and who I am. That's true. But I am a faithful God who will never, ever stop. And I will finish what I started in you. That's good news. And I did touch on this. Like, when God gives you responsibility in your life and you're like, you have a brand new baby, right, Justin? You have a brand new baby and you're like, this is a big responsibility. You feel like this is too big of a responsibility for me. But God asks you to do it. And even if you don't know how to do it yet, you can trust that he's faithful to complete the work that he entrusted to you. He's going to give you the ability to learn that and rise up to that, to that understanding so that you can carry out that responsibility. Very much so, I felt that as being the senior pastor of this church, stepping into great men's shoes. Great men's shoes. And great people have gone before us. And as a leadership team, we're stepping into a great responsibility. And it takes a lot of trust that, God, you did this. You did this. To me. Yeah. But it's a great opportunity and a great trust that if I can trust that even in my limits, in my lacks and where I end, that God is sovereign. That it's okay that I end. You and I don't have to pretend like we don't end. We can just be who we are and trust that God is going to expand us when needed. Because he says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you. For you have a special place in my heart. There it is, Pastor, right? You have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment and in the defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ Jesus. Beautiful passage. Verse 9, I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day Christ returns. This is a beautiful prayer that Paul, you know, is invoking to the people that he so dearly loves. These aren't just average people. These are people that he says are in his heart. And so what's most important to him is he's talking about these people that he dearly loves. As he says, I pray that your love will overflow more and more. What a great focus. What a great focus. Can we pray that, like, in our lives? This is a church. We could daily maybe pray, God, let your love overflow in my brother and sister's hearts more and more. And God, may that happen to me. Right? Can you imagine a church where the love was just overflowing? They were just focused on just God's love, just absolutely billowing and pouring out and overflowing. I think a lot of the things maybe we focus on or discouraged about or frustrated with might start getting a little smaller, wouldn't they? And they might be a little easier to deal with, wouldn't they? For some reason, when I think about this, I think about God's grace and God's love, and I think about, like, creaky joints, you know, with no fluid in them. You know, when people's joints, the fluid leaves their joints. You're like, yes, I know what you're talking about. You have two knees to do that. Okay. That hurts. Like, it was a lot better when there was fluid in those joints and cartilage and all the other good stuff that's supposed to be in them, right? When you're like 19 or 18, you're like, bodies feel great. But what happens is that stuff starts to decompose or squirt out. I don't know where it goes. And whatever it is, it's not where it's supposed to be. And we really wish it was. And that's a church without love. That's a church without love. This is why I think Paul understands this. He prays, God, let your love abound more and more so that whatever this church might go through, whatever circumstances might come. See, he knows about circumstances. He talks about those as he moves forward in this book. But whatever might come, that we could overcome it. He knows they could overcome it if God's love was just abounding out of every single member. Not just one person who just is like Glenda Mortaboy, who just loves everybody. This woman loves everybody. Her mission is love, to spread the love of God to every person in this church. Am I right? That's right. She preaches about love. She teaches love, but she lives it. Love abounds out of this woman more and more and more. Yeah. It's true. Man, we need more Glenda Mortaboys, don't we? Any of us can have that, but it's about our focus, and it's what she thinks about, prays about, and is desperate for God to do in her life every day. It's obvious. Man, I want to be like Glenda, right? That God's love would abound out of me more and more. That you will keep on growing. Man. He says it because the reality is his church life, sometimes we get stuck, don't we? We stop growing. Sometimes we do. One of the things that is really, really difficult is when a bunch of people stop growing altogether. We get frozen in time. And, you know, we as a church, we need to genuinely look at this and pray, God, help me to keep growing. I teach my kids, and I've taught our young people in this church for a long time. It's like, look, just make sure you grow every day. Just find a way to grow at least a little bit every day. Just every day. God just says he pours out his wisdom and understanding on us generously if we just ask. And so if God wants to grow us and help us grow, he's not resisting us. It's not hard to grow every day. If we take what Paul goes on to teach in this book, in this letter, and we really embrace this message of humility, then we will genuinely begin to grow every single day. Man, a little bit of growth every single day turns into a lot of growth over really not that long of time, not that great period of time. 360, let's just say 360, right? You get, you know, 4 or 5 days to not grow in a year. 360 days of growth. Think about how much you can learn in 1 year if you just keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. Keep growing. God, let that be the motto of our church, that we keep growing and that we abound in love. And in knowledge and understanding, right? Knowledge and understanding. Man, come on. I want to keep growing in knowledge and understanding. Man. For I want you to understand what really matters. There must be a reason he's saying this, because maybe people get distracted. Maybe we get focused on stuff, on the things that aren't really the most important or what really matters. I think Paul might have just understood people a little bit. And the great thing is that we really haven't changed for 2,000 years. So this message is really still applicable to us. We just have more gadgets and gadgets and, you know, gizmos to help us get distracted. It, you know, maybe it was just rocks and, like, you know, stick games back then, you know, that distracted people. I don't even know. No, I know they did more than that. I'm sorry. I'm just making stuff up. Stick games. They still play stick games. We still play with sticks and rocks, basically. Sticks and balls. And people pay people millions of dollars to play with sticks. For I want you to understand what really matters. God, teach us what really matters. Man, I want to know what really matters so that we may live blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Can I say that our life centered on Jesus is what really matters? What Jesus has for us is like a central message of this passage, that what Christ has for us, like in Him and in our relationship with Him, like this whole passage, this whole letter, like that Paul wants his people to understand that living in Christ is the thing that really matters. And allowing what He desires to happen through you, and to allow what even He says right here after this, He says, live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God. Come on, man. When we live in Him and we allow Him to keep us growing in a knowledge and an understanding and closing that gap daily between us and the nature of Christ, man, God, close that gap in my life daily between where I am at, who I've been, the rubbish in my life. Close that gap between my character and your nature and every day. And open my eyes to more understanding and more knowledge. That understanding, that knowledge reveals to me truth, reveals to me strength about my position in Christ, who He is, who I am in Him, what He has done, and increases my faith and my trust that, like, He's going to complete that what He starts. So I understand the nature of God right there, that God is a finisher. He's a closer. He doesn't quit. He doesn't stop. He's a doer. He's a getter doneer, right? That's a good God. And He's a good starter too. He's a really good starter. We're talking this morning about starting things. And this is actually the thing I really wanted to say, was that Pastor Dick, we were talking about somebody, Terry Hubble or somebody, I think, was telling him, like, thank you for the way you started our church with integrity. And, you know, this way you start a thing greatly affects the way you finish a thing. Pastor Rick and Dolores, they both live with integrity as they lived out the mission, and all the other pastors kind of in between. And look, there's a great legacy because of the way we started this movement. And we're continuing on with integrity. Right? So the way that God starts things, He's a good starter, starts things good. When He picked you and He chose you, He started a good thing. Not a bad thing. A good thing. And He had a good plan in His heart and His mind for you, specifically when He picked you. And He promised He'd complete it. And He had a plan to close that gap daily, to give you opportunity by His grace, His power, to help you close that gap daily, and to stay focused on what is most important, what really matters, and that's your relationship with Jesus. And out of that relationship produces, through the grace of God, godly character, love, right? What else? Joy, peace, patience. What else? Kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control, wow. Fruit of the Spirit. Gratefulness, right? This is a beautiful thing that Christ, the thing where we're most important is that we live in Him and we live blameless and pure through the grace and mercy of God through our life, as that projects out to the people around us. It spills out. It abounds. It spills out more and more, like that love spills out more and more to everyone around us. And that brings glory and praise to God. The way we live in Him. Amen. That's good, right? Yeah. All right, let's stand. Let's pray. Man, we're going quick today. Pastor, you want to come? Can you guys come close us in a song? Isn't it so great to have Rick and Dolores lead us in worship? You guys can come too. Let's, we can bring the whole band up here. We need the whole band. All right, bring the whole band up. We can just do one or two songs, right? Does that sound good? And then, Pastor, you can close us. Is that okay? Is that okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Lord, you're so good. God, thank you for your word that brings truth to us. It brings life to us. It causes us to change and be different. Lord, we're praying that your love would abound in us more and more. God, you'll close the gap by allowing us to grow in wisdom and in knowledge and in understanding day by day by day. And God, as our life is expanded and rooted in you, God, that you show us the value that who we are in you, cause us to grow in you and cause us to be knit in your love. And Lord, cause us to look through the rubbish of our life and to the value of what you designed us for. And God, we trust and thank you that you're going to complete that which you start in us. And God, we're just calling out a completion of the work of Christ in each one of us. And God, we're asking, God, that you will complete the work that you've destined for this church. And God, that this church will begin to be a place, a refuge of love. God, a refuge of your spirit. God, a refuge of your nature, God, of your spirit-filled character, God, will just be spilling out through each one of us. God, we love you. I pray that we would respond, God, with a heart of worship and thankfulness to your goodness today. God, and we just lift you up. I pray you bless this time of worship. And God, that you really minister to us right now. In Jesus' name, amen.